of heaven. In all the heavens, there's millions. They are spiritual beings, and they're angels all over this old, tremendous outer space outside of heaven. Billions of stars, and they're angels. That was what was revealed to me. They're actually spiritual beings that are around the great heaven, praising and glorifying God. But as the devil was cast out of heaven, some of those angels, those good angels, followed him out of outer space and became the evil powers and the evil spirits that do cause all the turmoil and trouble between man and wife, between all of the different factions upon this earth of people, between races. That's the demon powers of the devil that does that. That's what caused all the trouble. In other words, it's a battle between the forces of good and the forces of evil. But the true angels of God stayed still around heaven, protecting heaven, and listening to the voice of God and singing to the glory of God. That's what these stars are around heaven. They're spiritual beings. Like the movie picture people are called stars. Well, but this is different. These are angel stars in the great outer space circling billions of square miles around the great planet heaven. And this wonderful planet heaven is setting in the midst of all these great billions of angels. Well, when the devil was cast out, he was like a dragon. He turned into a dragon. And that dragon began to sweep his tail all around the heavens and capturing some of the good angels and causing them to follow him. But then Jesus told me how that he was going to be captured. Jesus is going to bring out the good angels out of heaven. All he's training an army, a great angel army in heaven with flaming swords. They're going to come out of heaven, capture that old demon and devil, and put him in the bottomless pit that he will not tempt the people anymore. What a great time that's going to be. But when God saw the wickedness of this world and saw all the trouble, he knew that he had to have a sacrifice of some type. So then he gave his only begotten Son to die upon Calvary, to be born of woman, conceived by the Holy Ghost, and to be born of woman. Now, it happened that that seed come directly from heaven, directly from God. He sent that seed to be put in the womb of Mary, that should develop into Jesus. So then he was both Son of Man and Son of God. He had to have flesh in order to be crucified. You couldn't crucify the Spirit or crucify an angel. So he became flesh for the sake of the human race. And he was taken and shed his blood, because without a blood sacrifice, there's no remission of sins. So Jesus walked upon this earth 33 and a half years, very short ministry. He fulfilled his mission very quick and very fast, shed his blood and hung on Calvary, and then went down into the prison house of death to preach to the spirits in prison, went on up to heaven and ascended up to God back with his whole body. So God took that body born of a virgin, and same as Elijah and others, took that body, was born upon this earth, because that body lived on this earth, Jesus, for this 33 and a half years. Not once did he sin, but he lived a pure life, did not become in a part of the earthly system of sin, but he was a conqueror of sin, and he went back into heaven. As he went back into heaven, sat on the right hand of his Father, he fulfilled his mission. But then he's coming out of heaven, actually he's coming out of heaven with his body, going to come and on a white horse with thousands and thousands of horses, angels and even, they're going to capture that old devil and get rid of him. What a great time that will be. So when we were going through this outer space, after we'd passed, going up, talking to you about going up. Now remember, this is all coming back to me through the memory and the power of the Holy Ghost. I have absolutely no records before me, because I'm not supposed to keep records, only speak through the authority of the Holy Ghost. And as we were in this part, going all up through millions and millions and billions of miles, because it was trillions of miles from this earth to heaven, and there was all this tremendous spiritual beings like stars all around God's great heaven. And as we were going through this part, it was miraculous to hear the beautiful singing of these angels. Now, when we were struck down in the mission field, when we were struck down in the presence of many, we were all struck down, in fact, that was these angels from out of the heavens that we could hear singing. We could hear the heavenly chorus singing, these angels singing, they're singing. And as we were going through this great outer space, they were singing and singing away. Friends, I want to tell you something. It's so precious to know that God is real. So precious to know that the angels are real. So precious to know that heaven's real. And this is a wonderful experience that I had going inside of heaven. But the angels that are coming out of heaven with Jesus are the ones. Now, heaven is a big place. It's not just a place like this earth, where about the size of this earth. Now, this earth is pretty big. You try and walk around, you find how big it is. Heaven is 80 times larger than the earth. Imagine how great that planet is. Then you just think, when you're inside of this vast place, and here's this great city of God right in the middle of it. Now, there's certainly plenty of room for Jesus to train this great army. These are super angels. These are archangels with flaming swords. He's going to come out and put that demon, that devil, in the bottomless pit. He's wiggling himself around between these planets. He makes a trip down to this earth and causes all the chaos and trouble down here, causes wars, causes all of this trouble. He's really a devil and stirs up the human race into all kinds of ungodly things, and stirs up the human race to be mean and to be ornery and to be really, really mean, causes wars. I've always wondered this very fact. Now, you've got the battles going on, as I said last night. Yet, supposedly Christians will bless the guns at one side of the battle and bless the guns on the other, and Christians shooting one another. Now, if that isn't, that certainly is not God. That certainly is the way of the devil, for them to take gunpowder back through the ages, atomic bomb, and Christians shoot at one another. Now, that proves to me that the world has got a long way to go before they really have the peace and joy of God that come through worshiping God. Now, the prayer life of a person can be really an asset to them. But just to get up before, let's say, the American Legion, or get up before the Congress, or get up before some public place and just say a prayer, well, that gives the person self-esteem, that gives the person publicity. But what about the prayer closet? Just think about the prayer closet, a part of your house that you can slip away yourself and getting that prayer closet and pray. Now, this is where I get my real power from, alone with Jesus in the prayer closet and praying in my Christian life, and it's what gives me joy, gives me strength, and also gives me the power to, at 84 years old, to go around the world and preach the gospel to every creature according to what the Word of God and the command of Jesus says. Now, in heaven, there's many things to think about. Inside of heaven, Jesus is doing the building. He's building these great big mansions. Now, if you can, you visualize in your mind a tremendous throne. Think of a throne 2,000 miles from the base of the throne to the top of God's head. This is a gigantic God and a gigantic throne. He's the great I Am. Now, just think of that, something that big. But yet he created man in his own likeness. He created man looking like himself. That's right. So God is omnipotent. God is the creator of all things. He's the great I Am, the God of the universe, the God of the stars, the God of all the planets out there. He's a God of all creation, the God of the real creation of God. Now think inside of heaven what's going on. It's a tremendous action going on. There's Jesus every day except Sunday, short time of day, goes and training his army to come out of heaven to conquer the devil. Now, that's one great thing's going on. Now, then, think about the instruments. Just think about the music. I want you to think about it a little bit. And just think of this great white throne. And on these levels of heaven, there's the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh heaven. Seventh heaven is where God sits on his throne. Now, the sixth heaven is where all the music is played. Now, can you imagine a place gigantic and big, hundreds and hundreds of miles around the throne, with every kind of an instrument imaginable sitting there? Pianos. Oh, such gorgeous and great pianos. Tremendous pianos, 20 times bigger than any piano I ever saw on this earth. Then there's the harps so big right around this great throne. The harps, tremendous harps. And then the marimbas, when you think of these marimbas all around the throne. And then organs. You mean to say there's organs? Yes, organs in heaven. Big, big organs. You talk about pipe organs. Now, Crystal Palace is noted for its great organ. I went to Crystal Palace to listen to them playing in there, and the organ one time when I was a young man. Now, but you can you think of an organ with the pipes reaching up 100 miles above the organ, and then six angels playing that great organ? Can you imagine the souls coming up from this earth to heaven that could play an organ down here, sharing with the angels to play these great organs? That's all on the sixth heaven, the sixth level of heaven. And then think of the trumpets now. John heard a talking trumpet in the book of Revelation. He said he heard a trumpet blowing. It was talking to him. Well, now, up in heaven on the third level, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of trumpets playing to the glory of God. Now, try to visualize this tremendous orchestra in heaven. Then can you think of thousands upon thousands or more thousands of guitars playing? Can you think of drums so beautiful, so great, but yet there's no time in heaven? They don't beat out time. It's a continue drum beating. Can you think of all these tremendous ukuleles, millions of them playing? Can you try to think of millions and millions and millions of millions of violins? Can you think of all these beautiful instruments, millions of them? Just millions of them on the sixth level of heaven where the dancing takes place, where all of the dancing, where the martyrs make their missionary martyr parade before God. Can you just try to think of these millions and millions of instruments all around the throne of God? And the music. Music belongs to God. Now, can you remember some of these precious people? Good players on this earth that brought music. They were known for their music. They were known for the beautiful music here, regardless of the color of their skin, Polish, African. It's through the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost is a miraculous reality and a miraculous experience. Now, you may just kneel before the altar and say, I accept Jesus as my Savior. And then you believe in the blood. That's a matter of faith. That's not a matter of actual freedom, but it's a matter of faith. So you take that by faith and believe there's heaven. But that's not all you need. What you need is God in you, the hope of glory. God in you, the hope of glory. How does God come in you? Very clear. You have an experience called the baptism. The baptism. What in the world is a baptism, some people say? Well, when you're put under the water, that is a baptizing. You're baptized in water. They put you down under the water and say, I baptize you. Some will say in Jesus' name, and different forms that they use. But you will say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Now, why is the Holy Ghost brought into this? Why is not saying just I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son? Why is the Holy Ghost? Because the Holy Ghost is a person. How do you know that the Holy Ghost is a person? Experience. Now, when Jesus left this earth, he began to talk to his followers. And he's going to say, I'm going to leave you, and I'm going to heaven. And he knew he was going to get crucified. He knew all that. He knew it very clear that he was going to get crucified. He knew what he's going to have to go through. But he said, when I go away. He knew he was going to go, not if. There was no if to it with Jesus. It was when. When I go away, I will not leave you without a comforter. I will not leave you empty. I will not leave you without understanding. I'll not leave you without knowledge of heaven. I'll not leave you without a real testimony for you that there's a real heaven. So he said, I will send you another comforter. Now, he was the comforter without a question. He was the comforter to his apostles and to the men upon this earth. But he said, I'll send you another one. I'll send you somebody else beside me. I will come back someday, but not now. But I will send somebody in my place. So then who did he send? I'll send you another comforter. And he, now the word he, not it, the word he, meaning person, meaning a person. The word he, not me, another, not me, not Jesus, not God the Father, but he, another, he, mean the third person in the triune doctrine of heaven. He shall testify of me. Now, it was not Jesus that come, not him. He didn't come back then. Well, you could have the power of Jesus to get you saved, but not Jesus, or not the Father. He shall testify of me. He shall talk about me. He shall come in you, right in you, and you'll be right in you, and God in you. He'll be the God in you, the hope of glory. He'll come in you. A person will come in you, and he'll testify of me. Now, also another scripture clearly teaches that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, that he is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Another person again. But by the Holy Ghost. Very clear. So I saw the Father in heaven. I saw the Son. And I saw the Holy Ghost. Now that's what I saw. And I have to tell it true, faithful, before God. I can't deny it. I saw the Holy Ghost. So then there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now the Holy Ghost can lead you and tell you what to do. Through the Spirit of God and through the Holy Ghost, there are the fruits of the Spirit. You can become a teacher. You can become an evangelist. You can become a prophet. You can become a discerner of spirits. You can become a healer. You can become a miracle worker. All through the power of the Holy Ghost. Because these are the fruits of the Spirit. So the Holy Ghost is here upon this earth. Now when you decide you need to be filled with God or filled with the Spirit, you accept, you seek the Holy Ghost. In order to seek the Holy Ghost, you say, breathe on me. Now, they were in an upper chamber. There was 120 in an upper chamber in Jerusalem. And it was the time of the taxes. They were all there, 120 of all things Jews, 120 of them in the upper room. And they were praying. Jesus told them to go up to Jerusalem, find a place up there, get the banqueting house, go up there, and just stay in there until you receive power from on high. Now, how are you ever going to get power from on high? Only through the Holy Ghost. So then the Holy Ghost, not the Holy Spirit, is different. Some people say baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, that's good. Get all the baptisms you want. Get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Get saturated with the Holy Spirit. That doesn't hurt. But it's the Holy Ghost that really testifies of Jesus. So then baptized. What does it mean to be baptized? Now, when you're put down in the water, you're baptized. And then when you are baptized, you're put under. Same way with God. When you surrender, like we did there, in the time that I went to heaven, we're all surrendered in the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost. And then the Holy Ghost began to speak. Now, when the Holy Ghost comes into you and you're fully saturated, baptized with the Holy Ghost, then you begin to speak God's language. Now, to speak God's language is heavenly language, not an earthly language, a heavenly language. Now, heaven, now there's a river in heaven, and that is the Spirit of God. Now, the Spirit of God coming out from under the throne of God comes to the floodgates. Now, there's some of that Spirit of the Lord coming down right now. Now, that's what is the shocker of this earth, to make the earth tremble, to make people realize there's a heavenly place. Exactly what it is. So then the Holy Ghost coming down upon this earth through the Spirit of God. Now, the triune doctrines meet one in three and three in one. In other words, God, it's all in God, all in Him. It all comes from the Father. But there's the demonstration of the Lord Jesus, which is a person, and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Now, in the demonstration of the Holy Ghost or the Spirit of God on this earth, it begins to testify of you. So then, here you are, accepting the fullness of God, the fullness of Him, the fullness of the Spirit of God. Now, this is the way you can know Jesus as Lord. Now, this great river is where it comes from. And I walked along the side of this river with Jesus. Walked with Him along the side of the river and crossed the river. A wide, big, long river full of the Spirit of God. And on each side of that river, just not the tree of it, not just one tree, but there's a promenade, each side, a beautiful promenade, all lit up by the power of the Spirit of God. Oh, it's a gorgeous river, and it's a gorgeous walk each side. Now, both sides of that river, it's like a street. In other words, a promenade and the street of it. John saw the street of it, and I saw the streets each side of the river. Now, try to imagine in your earthly mind, through the power of God, what this beautiful river is like. Gorgeous river with fruit trees on each side, but there's one tree called the tree of life. Now, in the Garden of Eden, there was tree of life, but this is the tree of life. The trees have leaves on them. When I walked down the riverside with Jesus, He picked a fruit off of one of the 12 types of fruit. Every month, it bears a new precious fruit. And I ate off of that tree of life. That's why I'm old, 84 years old, and still going strong. I got a renewing of God in heaven. Now then, there are the leaves of the trees. Now, what are the leaves for? On the trees of each side of the river, the leaves on there are for the healing of the nations. What do you mean by the healing of the nations? There's never been a time as there is today, people, the whole world, seeking to know about heaven. Japan seeking to know about heaven. All the world is stirred up today to know about heaven. I have become parlor conversation among the Oriental people. Now, in the testimony of John on Patmos, here's what he said in one, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. You cannot see God's face now. You cannot see it. Why is it you cannot see God's face? I'll tell you exactly why. You cannot see God's face because from this river, when this river flows out from under the throne of God, the prayers are placed on the golden altar. Now, this is a job for the women in heaven. The women. Take your prayers and put them on the golden altar. When you put them on the golden altar, they're transferred from the golden altar to the brazen altar. Now, what's the brazen altar? The brazen altar, my friends, is like a fiery, fiery hot of coals. Now, these prayers are actually, when they get to heaven, they become substance. They become like a substance, much like water. When they go up there, they're turned into water, like a spirit, and they're laid on the golden altar. That is for the they're laid there, altar sacrifice, where the slain lamb is underneath. Then they're transferred over to the brazen altar, the real brazen altar. And this brazen altar is, my friends, a fire. And as they're laid on the fire, they turn into like an incense or a vapor. Then this vapor goes up to towards God's head. Covers God's head completely, so therefore you cannot see His face. You cannot see His face at all, because the prayers that you pray here go up by this type of a vapor and covers God's head, that you can't see it, or His face, I mean. And He's thinking then, and He's thinking about your prayers. Then forms a great rainbow, and this rainbow goes across God's head and down onto the crystal sea where Jesus is, going on to the crystal sea. And there Jesus, this lights up Jesus' eyes, and His eyes absolutely and without question fire up the whole of heaven, the whole of heaven. And light up God's body, but not His face, because His prayers are still rolling over. And the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Amen. Friends, I'm doing all of these whole 12 hours of tapes by memory. Absolutely no records before me, times, dates, or seasons, which I was told by Jesus in heaven not to remember times. And as I am speaking this, I am speaking through the memory of the Holy Ghost speaking upon me. I saw some wonderful signs in heaven, some great and wonderful realities. Coming back from heaven, I saw souls going up to heaven. But I also, since the time of going to heaven, had a great vision of the great dragon. And in the 12th chapter of Revelation, I never read this before I went on this visitation to heaven. And there appeared in the 3rd chapter, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. The dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born. She brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to the throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness. The main part of this reading of this scripture is the dragon. There was a war in heaven, and Jesus explained to me very clear, this is one of the secrets, how the war took place in heaven. That was between Satan, the devil, and God. There was no trouble before this. Everything was tranquil. Everything was good. Everybody was happy. And there was absolutely no problems or trouble whatsoever. And even the devil was crawling on the earth like a snake on this earth. The demon powers of the devil. And here's what happened. When Satan or Lucifer decided he wanted to be like the Most High God and take over His throne, that was in the old heaven, and God said no, and cast him out of heaven with all his angels with him. And angels are like stars. Now the stars of heaven, in all the heavens there's millions. They are spiritual beings, and they're angels all over this old tremendous outer space outside of heaven. Billions of stars, and they're angels. That was what was revealed to me. They're actually spiritual beings that around the great heaven, praising and glorifying God. But as the devil was cast out of heaven, some of those angels, those good angels, followed him out of outer space and became the evil powers and the evil spirits that do cause all the turmoil and trouble between man and wife, between all of the different factions upon this earth of people, between races. That's the demon powers of the devil that does that. That's what caused all the trouble. In other words, it's a battle between the forces of good and the forces of evil. But the true angels of God stayed still around heaven, protecting heaven and listening to the voice of God and singing to the glory of God. That's what these stars are around heaven. They're spiritual beings. Like the movie picture people are called stars. Well, but this is different. These are angel stars in the great outer space circling billions of square miles around the great planet heaven. And this wonderful planet heaven is setting in the midst of all these great billions of angels. Well, when the devil was cast out, he was like a dragon. He turned into a dragon. And that dragon began to sweep his tail all around the heavens and capturing some of the good angels and causing them to follow him. But then Jesus told me how that he was going to be captured. Jesus is going to bring out the good angels out of heaven. All he's training an army, a great angel army in heaven with flaming swords. They're going to come out of heaven, capture that old demon and devil, and put him in the bottomless pit that he will not tempt the people anymore. What a great time that's going to be. But when God saw the wickedness of this world and saw all the trouble, he knew that he had to have a sacrifice of some type. So then he gave his only begotten Son to die upon Calvary, to be born of woman, conceived by the Holy Ghost, and to be born of woman. Now, it happened that that seed come directly from heaven, directly from God. He sent that seed to be put in the womb of Mary, that should develop into Jesus. So then he was both Son of Man and Son of God. He had to have flesh in order to be crucified. You couldn't crucify the Spirit or crucify an angel. So he became flesh for the sake of the human race. And he was taken and shed his blood, because without a blood sacrifice, there's no remission of sins. So Jesus walked upon this earth 33 and a half years, very short ministry, fulfilled his mission very quick and very fast, shed his blood and hung on Calvary, and then went down into the prison house of death to preach to the spirits in prison, went on up to heaven and ascended up to God back with his whole body. So God took that body born of a virgin, and same as Elijah and others, took that body, was born upon this earth, because that body lived on this earth, Jesus, for this 33 and a half years. Not once did he sin, but he lived a pure life, did not become in a part of the earthly system of sin, but he was a conqueror of sin, and he went back into heaven. As he went back into heaven, sat on the right hand of his Father, he fulfilled his mission. But then he's coming out of heaven. Actually, he's coming out of heaven with his body, going to come and on a white horse with thousands and thousands of horses, angels and even. They're going to capture that old devil and get rid of him. What a great time that will be. So when we were going through this outer space, after we'd passed, going up, talking to you about going up. Now remember, this is all coming back to me through the memory and the power of the Holy Ghost. I have absolutely no records before me, because I'm not supposed to keep records, only speak through the authority of the Holy Ghost. And as we were in this part, going all up through millions and millions and billions of miles, because it was trillions of miles from this earth to heaven, and there was all this tremendous spiritual beings like stars all around God's great heaven. And as we were going through this part, it was miraculous to hear the beautiful singing of these angels. Now, when we were struck down in the mission field, when we were struck down in the presence of many, we were all struck down, in fact. It was these angels from out of the heavens that we could hear singing. We could hear the heavenly chorus singing. These angels singing, they're singing. And as we were going through this great outer space, they were singing and singing away. Friends, I want to tell you something. It's so precious to know that God is real. So precious to know that the angels are real. So precious to know that heaven is real. And this is a wonderful experience that I had going inside of heaven. But the angels that are coming out of heaven with Jesus are the ones. Now, heaven is a big place. It's not just a place like this earth where about the size of this earth. Now, this earth is pretty big. You try and walk around, you find how big it is. But heaven is 80 times larger than the earth. Imagine how great that planet is. Then you just think while you're inside of this vast place, and here's this great city of God right in the middle of it. Now, there's certainly plenty of room for Jesus to train this great army. These are super angels. These are archangels with flaming swords. He's going to come out and put that demon, that devil, in the bottomless pit. He's wiggling himself around between these planets. He makes a trip down to this earth and causes all the chaos and trouble down here, causes wars, causes all of this trouble. He's really a devil and stirs up the human race into all kinds of ungodly things and stirs up the human race to be mean and to be ornery and to be really, really mean, causes wars. I've always wondered this very fact. Now, you've got the battles going on, as I said last night. Yet, supposedly Christians will bless the guns at one side of the battle and bless the guns on the other, and Christians shooting one another. Now, if that isn't, that certainly is not God. That certainly is the way of the devil, for them to take gunpowder back through the ages, atomic bomb, and Christians shoot at one another. Now, that proves to me that the world has got a long way to go before they really have the peace and joy of God that come through worshiping God. Now, the prayer life of a person can be really an asset to them. But just to get up before, let's say, the American Legion, or get up before the Congress, or get up before some public place and just say a prayer, well, that gives the person self-esteem, that gives the person publicity. But what about the prayer closet? Just think about the prayer closet, a part of your house that you can slip away yourself and getting that prayer closet and pray. Now, this is where I get my real power from, alone with Jesus in the prayer closet and praying. And praying in my Christian life, and it's what gives me joy, gives me strength, and also gives me the power to, at 84 years old, to go around in the world and preach the gospel to every creature according to what the Word of God and the command of Jesus says. Now, in heaven, there's many things to think about. Inside of heaven, Jesus is doing the building. He's building these great big mansions. Now, if you can, you visualize in your mind a tremendous throne. Think of a throne 2,000 miles from the base of the throne to the top of God's head. This is a gigantic God and a gigantic throne. He's the great I Am. Now, just think of that, something that big. But yet he created man in his own likeness. He created man looking like himself. That's right. So God is omnipotent. God is the creator of all things. He's the great I Am, the God of the universe, the God of the stars, the God of all the planets out there. He's a God of all creation, the God of the real creation of God. Now think inside of heaven what's going on. It's a tremendous action going on. There's Jesus. Every day except Sunday, short time of day, goes and training his army to come out of heaven to conquer the devil. Now, that's one great thing's going on. Now, then, think about the instruments. Just think about the music. I want you to think about it a little bit. And just think of this great white throne. And on these levels of heaven, there's the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh heaven. Seventh heaven is where God sits on his throne. Now, the sixth heaven is where all the music is played. Now, can you imagine a place gigantic and big, hundreds and hundreds of miles around the throne, with every kind of an instrument imaginable sitting there? Pianos. Oh, such gorgeous and great pianos. Tremendous pianos, 20 times bigger than any piano I ever saw on this earth. Then there's the harps so big right around this great throne. The harps. Tremendous harps. And then the marimbas. When you think of these marimbas all around the throne. And then organs. You mean to say there's organs? Yes, organs in heaven. Big, big organs. You talk about pipe organs. Now, Crystal Palace is noted for its great organ. I went to Crystal Palace to listen to them playing in there, and the organ one time when I was a young man. Now, but you can you think of an organ with the pipes reaching up 100 miles above the organ, and then six angels playing that great organ? Can you imagine the souls coming up from this earth to heaven that could play an organ down here, sharing with the angels to play these great organs? That's all on the sixth heaven, the sixth level of heaven. And then think of the trumpets now. John heard a talking trumpet in the book of Revelation. He said he heard a trumpet blowing. It was talking to him. Well, now, up in heaven on the third level, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of trumpets playing to the glory of God. Now, try to visualize this tremendous orchestra in heaven. Then can you think of thousands upon thousands or more thousands of guitars playing? Can you think of drums so beautiful, so great, but yet there's no time in heaven? They don't beat out time. It's a continue drum beating. Can you think of all these tremendous ukuleles, millions of them playing? Can you try to think of millions and millions and millions of millions of violins? Can you think of all these beautiful instruments? Millions of them, just millions of them, on the sixth level of heaven where the dancing takes place, where all of the dancing, where the martyrs make their missionary martyr parade before God. Can you just try to think of these millions and millions of instruments all around the throne of God? And the music. Music belongs to God. Now, can you remember some of these precious people, good players on this earth that brought music? They were known for their music. They were known for the beautiful music here, regardless of the color of their skin. Polish, Africans, French, Germans, all the great musicians of the world. Can you think? What a name they got down. People love to listen to music. Some music goes right down into your soul. Some music is kind of, well, it's kind of, it doesn't do you too much good, does it? But the real music goes into a man's heart and into a man's soul. You take the Spanish music of South America. It does something to you when you sit and eat dinner. And you hear the wonderful music. And it actually helps you digest your food because it brings you to a place of peace. It brings you to a place in the interior of Africa. I've been all through among the pygmies, the Swahilis, and all the different tribes of Africa, and the Ivory Coast, you name it, I've been there. But when the singing starts, when the music strikes up, it brings a love, a joy. It does it in any nationality and in any creed, color, race, or people. Let music start up. There's always comes a feeling among them because it's music. Because it's music does something to you. No matter what type. Some respond to different kind of music. With heaven, the music is all pure. The music is all beautiful. Now, these great players down upon this earth, they're put playing big instruments in heaven. If he's a trumpet blower down here, he plays a talking trumpet, and he blows it like he did do. And only he doesn't blow the breath like he did down. He blows God's celestial air into it, because heaven is full of celestial air. So then you got this, all these trombones, and you got the bass fiddles. You got all of it up there in heaven, and just try to think of them all playing at one time. The gorgeous music, and God enjoying it. That's what God loves. He loves the music to be played as an honor to Him, as an honor to God, as an honor to the great Creator. Then try to think, if you will, dance into this music 10,000 times the thousands upon thousands of angels and the souls of men and women dance into the tune of the heavenly music. I tell you, heaven's a real place. It's a place of joy. It's a place of peace. It's a place of reality. It's a place of truth. And then all of this is going to take place, and not too far away. And then try to think, if you will, in your mind, all these redeemed nationalities of the world. Today, there's a great hunger for the Word of God all over the world. There's a great hunger for something supernatural. There's a great hunger for man to know what's beyond this earth. Was it just happened that man was just put here like a fly crawling around or just like something? No. Man is the creation of God Himself. And He's put on this earth to replenish the earth. That's the way it was. And to till, grow, and do these things upon this earth. But it was as far as that was concerned, man fell. So God sent a Redeemer and built a new heaven, a new earth and a new heaven. He's building it. Now, as we've had you right now into the sixth level of heaven. Now, try to think of millions of miles of this. Not miles, because it goes backwards and forwards. Just try to think of all of this tremendous music coming forth, the instruments being supplied by the breath of God, and all the angels dancing, people singing to the glory of God. Heaven, oh, I tell you, it's a continuous joy in heaven. Did you ever get in a Sunday morning service or someplace and feel the Spirit? Did you ever get in there where the preacher had been preaching, and then you could feel the souls of men waking up? You ever think of those beautiful old songs, as they'd sing them to the glory of God, and then there was a wonderful feeling and everybody became happy? That's right, I could go back and tell you some of the things of that. But friends, in heaven, it all becomes a reality. It all becomes a truth. It all becomes something real. It all becomes the ultimate of joy and peace and long-suffering. Then, as this happens, God nods His head and He recognizes the beautiful music. Then there's the song of the redeemed, but there's a song of the martyr. There's the martyrs come up, they sing too, and their song is, "How long, O Lord, how long, O Lord, will it be before we're avenged of our enemy?" They sing and pray that, because one time their captors and their ones that did them all this harm and killed them is going to be brought to time. That's what it's all. Justice. God's the God of justice. No matter what's happening, it's going to be this justice. Now, I asked him this question, "Jesus, when are you going to come? I'm sick and tired living down on the old earth anyway. It's only just a little while, and it's all over. You know that. Seemingly like it's just something just temporary. Nothing permanent, is it? So you're born, you live, you die." And then a lot of people say, "Well, that's the end. I enjoyed myself while I was a young man. But how about when you get old?" Somebody's always looking for security. Say, "Well, when I get old, I'll have it made." Do you? No, you don't. You never know what's going to happen. There's only security for man is to look forward to a home in heaven, eternal heaven. Now, I believe in every child should be fed. Of course I do. I believe that every home should have abundance of food upon their table. Anybody wouldn't have a heart if they didn't believe that. See little children hungry and see the pantry empty. It's not necessary in a land like this, but it is. It happens. It happens. But not so in heaven. Heaven's got a banqueting house and it's full of food, abundance of everything, all you want to eat, that's right, and joy, and continuous happiness forever and ever. So I asked Jesus. I said, "Jesus, when are you coming?" And He looked up at those buildings and He said, "Well, really, only my Father knows, but..." And He said, "I'm preparing these buildings. For I said, in my Father's house are many mansions, here's the mansions. And they're soon going to be finished, not too long hence. I've been working on them almost 2,000 years to prepare the place for all of the Christians So when this happens, we'll enter into the land of joy. But I said, Jesus, again, when are you coming? And he said, look at these buildings. When they are completed, coming almost to the end. And it'll be completed. And then I'm coming because I have to have the place prepared for all the souls that come in here. You see, very, 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 very real. In my Father's house are many mansions. And then try to imagine in front of the throne of God, three rows of mansions, maybe 2 million, 3 million miles long, beautiful mansion. More souls you win, the bigger the mansion you have to entertain your souls. Here's these great mansions there, tremendous, just to entertain the souls they brought to Jesus upon this earth. I saw them in it, many of them, the prophets, the old prophets of old, and the great men of God upon this earth that did. It's the old devil's idea to make us quarrel. Go to the closet. Go to the closet of prayer, friends. And in that closet of prayer is where you'll find peace. He'll keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. To walk around these grounds where I'm at, where I'm making these tapes, walk out. We've got a few trees left here, and I like to walk among the trees. When I do, I think of Jesus. Look up in that tree. Father made that tree. And walk around and see the glorious beauty of God upon this earth. But it doesn't even touch the beauty of heaven, the buildings. I've been in the Taj Mahal in India. I had tea with the Queen. I went in some of those Arabian palaces. I was in Egypt and all palaces. I was in many places of the world in what's supposed to be the greatest buildings ever built. But they do the architecture and the construction of them, the shape of them, doesn't even touch one porch of those beautiful buildings in heaven. They're gorgeous. Heard about the Crystal Palace, great place, the Crystal Palace. It doesn't even touch the great mansions in heaven, and you can live in them. That's the most beautiful part about it. There's 10,000 square miles of mansions, plus the ones before the throne of God. Now, can you imagine having a mansion in heaven? You can have it. No mortgage on it. No mortgage at all. No plumbing to fix. Nothing to fix in it. And no roof will ever leak. No dirty basement. The house is just beautiful, the mansions. And that's where you're going to live in heaven. And there'll be no one living any better than the other. You may have ranks in heaven, because it has to be run. But when it comes to the actual living, we'll all be the same. All the same. You'll enjoy your mansion, and you can sit there like a king. Because when we get to heaven, we'll be kings and priests, all of us. We'll sit in our mansion and enjoy our reward. And then to see the little children. It's glory. You know all the little children that died before their seven, all the aborted babies? And then you look into heaven and you see 10,000 miles of playground. And the playground is so beautiful and so real, so precious. And also, my dear friends, one more thing about heaven before I finish this tape. Just one more beautiful reality. The food in heaven, the banquet in house. Sitting down to the table with one another. I remember one time back there during the Depression days, we're feeding a lot of poor people, black and white, Spanish, different kinds, even some Chinese come in. There's a precious lady come in there. And she looked at the table as we was eating and said, oh, such love. She said, such love. She sat down and said, I can hardly eat because of the love of God in her midst. Those old days. You see, it was depression days. And the food made us happy. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. I'll be with you on the next tape. Amen.